In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about Paul's letter to the Philippians. Have you noticed in this series that I haven't read any letters from readers? I do enjoy getting the letters, and I read them, and I often read letters on the air with or without one's name. And if I'm going to use a name, of course, I would ask permission. And I always try to be very careful not to read any letters with any dead giveaways that would identify that person. But I'm very grateful for the letters, but it has been my purpose during this series to focus on Christ, on His Word, and not on our tininess, our failures, and our bewilderment, and our problems. But I can hear somebody saying, but I need help with those, with my tininess and my failures and my bewilderment and my problems. And I say to you, this is our help, the truth of God. Pray and ask the Lord to help you to lift up your eyes to Him, away from the problem. You know, I've been at this business for long enough to realize that Christ is the only answer to very many of the questions and the problems that come to me. I'm expected to be a sort of an Ann Landers and be able to answer all questions, and I imagine that Ann Landers has a pretty big staff of people to help her with that. Here I sit in my study and read your mail and try to figure out, now what can I say to this person? Very often, I can't say much of anything except take it to the cross. Take it to Jesus. Ask Him to help you to see your situation, your problem, your disappointment, your sorrow in the light of His cross. You know, the cross towers o'er the wrecks of time, as one of the hymns says. When Christian in Pilgrim's Progress reached the cross, his burden fell off and rolled down the hill. And Christian looks up and he says, He hath given me rest by His sorrows and life by His death. It's never my purpose to focus on the problems on this program. There are many different issues and problems and difficulties that I try to deal with, but I always want my focus to be primarily on Christ. I'm sure I don't always succeed. Sometimes I probably do very poorly at it and get so carried away with all the advice that I want to dish out about a particular issue that I may forget, but I don't want to do that. And so that's been my purpose in this series, to try to focus on Christ. And when I say to people in answer to their questions, I don't know. I just don't know the answer to that. But I do know the one who knows. Look to Him. Read His Word. Sometimes I'm accused of being simplistic when I say things like that. One lady, in fact, had written me one or two letters, and I got another letter from her, and she started right out by saying, don't give me any Bible verses. I didn't know what else to give her. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. If we were to truly pray, earnestly ask that God would enable us to become like Him in His death, I think it would make a very big difference in our attitudes towards the hard things, toward the things that really break our hearts and empty our hands. It is our opportunity to share in his sufferings. In Paul's view, to know Christ is by far the greatest goal that anybody could aim at. To really know him, to find fullness of life in him, to be able truthfully to say, to me, to live is Christ. And Paul, having said that earlier in this epistle, goes on to say here, I want to know him. Doesn't he know him? Each day, God gives us opportunities to know him better. And the best way to get to know God is through obedience. Jesus said, he that willeth to do his will shall know. Jesus also said, if you love me, do what I say. And there are two things that we certainly must do if we're going to get to know Christ. And the first is self-surrender. Give ourselves to him. Now, does that seem far out and terribly spiritual? Well, let me give you a simple illustration. If you want to learn to do macrame, you surrender yourself to the teacher. You don't argue with the teacher about how she tells you to do it. You watch very carefully what she does. You listen carefully to what she says. And with your fingers, you try to do exactly what you've been told. That is a small illustration, but I think a clear one, of surrender to a master. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to do macrame. She has beautiful things to show you to prove it. Do you want to do the same? Then you have to do what she says. You surrender. And we surrender ourselves to Christ, as Mary did. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen to me as you say. Or, be it unto me according to thy word. And communion with God requires surrender, the discipline of self. Both of these things entail suffering. In another epistle, the epistle to the Colossians, Paul wrote this in chapter 1, verse 24. I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. Another translation puts it, this is my way of helping to complete the sufferings of Christ in my poor human flesh for the sake of the body. Body meaning for the sake of the church, the believers, the saints, the brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul was willing to suffer. He was not only willing, but he actually could say, I rejoice in my sufferings. And then here's a wonderful one in Romans 8, verse 17 and 18. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if, indeed, we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. If we share in his sufferings, we will share in his glory. Do you remember the story of the little red hen? The little red hen was going to bake bread. And she went all around asking all her different friends, the duck and the pig and the dog, if they would help her to bake the bread. And each one of them said, not I. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the pig. And the little red hen said, well, then I will do it myself. And when it came beautifully browned and baked out of the oven, the dog and the pig and the cat were all quite willing to help her eat it. But the little red hen said, I will eat it myself. They had not been willing to share in the work, so they couldn't share in the eating. And unless we are prepared to share in Christ's sufferings, whatever form they may come in to us, how can we share in his glory? How can we expect to receive the riches of his grace if we have not faithfully, thankfully, and humbly received the kinds of suffering that our life entails? To find the fullness of life in him, we must be willing to enter in to his suffering in order that we may enter into his glory. And then verse 18 of Romans 8 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Look at the contrast. Look at your problems and look at the glory. Look at your problems and bring them to Jesus. And Jesus will remind you, he will encourage you, he will strengthen and hearten and uphold you and remind you of that glory. In that same chapter, he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That's God's purpose, that you and I should be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And it can't happen without difficulties. It's our little troubles and trials, our disappointments, our difficulties that are our opportunity to be shaped into that likeness. Someone has said that Jesus' life was rich in loneliness, in ostracism. Have you been ostracized from your friends, from your church, from your family? Has there been misunderstanding? Is your suffering physical? These are riches, according to God's word. These are the experiences of helplessness that turn us to Christ. Think of his cross, he who was pinned, nailed, those hands that had made the world helpless. But out of that came glory. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will make up what has been lacking of my words in this program and help the listeners to look to you. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.